Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we're moving?
Yes.
Okay. Parshas Miketz. And a lot to talk about, and try to touch on Chanukah, but we'll focus on the Parsha, a couple of major issues on the Parsha, and then some minor issues. And hopefully the last thought we will say will have a connection to Chanukah. Again, I apologize for my voice is somewhat a little sick, but Bezrat Hashem, Hashem Yazor. We're going to start off with a famous question that runs through Miketz, Vayigash, and that is Yosef's behavior. Yosef's behavior, or a lack of what he did not do. Right? He didn't send his father a postcard. He didn't reveal himself to his brothers. That's the major issue. All the Mefarshim weigh in. You know what? What exactly was Yosef thinking? Why didn't he reveal himself? Let's look, read a few of the psukim, and then we'll see. Again, every year we could probably come back to this question and quote a number of other ideas, but we're going to see three ideas in the Mefarshim who deal with this question. So let's see when the brothers first come to Yosef. So this is in Perek Membeis, Pasuk Gimel. The brothers come down, the 10 brothers of Yosef, without Binyamin come down to Mitzrayim. But Binyamin achi Yosef lo shalach Yaakov, he didn't come. Vayavo, and they come again. V'Yosef, pasuk Bav, hu ha-shalit ala aretz, hu ha-mashbir l'chol ha-ma aretz, he is the leader of Mitzrayim. Vayavo achi Yosef, v'yishtach bul apayim aretzah. They bow down, the brothers come and they bow down. Pasuk V'zayim, vayar Yosef es echa v'yakireim, Yosef sees his brothers and he recognizes them, vayisnaker aleihem, and he acts strange with them. He acts as if he's a stranger. Vayidaber itam kashos, and he speaks with them harshly. Vayomer aleihem ayin basem, from where did you come from? Vayomer meiris kanan lish barochel. Vayar yaker Yosef es achav v'him lo kiruhu. Again, the pasuk emphasizes he recognizes them; they didn't recognize him. Chazal say he didn't have a beard, and they all had beards; they were a little older. Okay, that's what Chazal say. Pasuk tes, Vayizkar Yosef es achalamot eshachalam lahem, Yosef remembers his dreams, Vayomer alehem, and he says to them, Meraglim atem, you're meraglim, you're spies, Lirvos es eretz haaretz basem, you came to see the erva, the nakedness of the land, Vayomer lev lo adoni, no, we came to get food, we're all children of the same man, and we're not meraglim, and we have the conversation. So these are the psukim that Yosef does not act like their brother, and the question that all the Mefarshim deal with is, why didn't Yosef reveal himself? So question A is, during all the years, he didn't send his father a postcard. That's one question. But second question in the psukim is, why did he deal so, it seems to be so hurtful even. You know, why didn't he reveal himself? He saw they were Bitsaris. He caused them so much more pain, schlepping back and forth. What exactly was his plan? So let's do three ideas from the Mefarshim. One, earlier Rishon, later Rishon, and late Achron. So, first, the words of the Ramban. Ramban, maybe one of the more well-known opinions, but let's see his words inside. The Ramban picks up on one of the psukim that we just read, which seems to be out of place. What is it telling us? Right? Yosef acts strangely to his brothers, and they didn't recognize him, and he recognized them. And then Pasuk Tes said, Vayizkar Yosef es achalamot. He remembers the dreams. And he says, you're meraglim, etc. So, what does that have to do with anything? He remembers the dreams. In the middle of this story, he remembers the dreams. What do the dreams have to do with it? That's what the Ramban's whole pshat is based on, this one pasuk. This one pasuk gives it all away. Says the Ramban in source number one. Vayizkar Yosef es achalamot eshachalam lahem aleihem. Right, he thought about the dreams that he thought about them. V'yadash in iskaimu sherishtachavu lo. And he knew that they were, well, first he goes Rashi. He knew that they were makuyim sherishtachavu lo, because they bowed down to him. Lashon Rashi. Ulafi daiti shahadavar behefach. Says the Ramban, I think just the opposite of Rashi. Not that he saw they all bowed down to him and therefore his dreams were fulfilled, but he saw that his dreams were not fulfilled. Ki omar kasuv, because the pasuk says, ki b'ros Yosef es echov mishtachavim lo, when Yosef saw his brothers bowing down to him, zocher kala chalamos eshachalam lahim, he remembered his dreams, v'yada shalonis kayem echa mihem b'pam azos. He knew that not one of his dreams were mekuyim. Why? He knew their interpretation. All the brothers are going to bow down to him. All the brothers. Right? 11 brothers. There's only 10 in front of him. It has not come true yet. Upam Shenis, what was the second dream? Yishtach v'lo Hashemesh v'hayarech v'achalach ha'yukochovim lechalom sheni. The sun and the moon, where are they? V'kivan shalo ra'a binyamini mahem. Since he didn't see binyamim, chash, he said to himself, I have to figure out a way to make the dreams come true. They haven't come true yet. What could I do to make the dreams come true? How could I get Binyamin down here to bow down to me as well?
So that part,
Rachel was dead, right? So was that going to be maybe substituted, maybe Bilhah, right? There might have been some way to substitute for that. But 100%. But at least the first dream. Since he didn't see Binyamin with them, he thought of this plan to be ma'alil on them, to complain to them, in order to get Binyamin also down to tell over the dream. I'm your brother, go bring your father, I have plenty of food here. Why didn't he say that? Says Rabban, that's why. Because he wanted to get the dreams to come true. He says right away, bring everybody down, I'm Yosef, Binyamin would never bow down to him. So that's why he kept quiet. His father would come right away. What the first dream true? He tried to get them to be Mekayim the second dream. Were it not for this plan, Yosef, if we wouldn't have this explanation, says the Ramban, Yosef would obviously be sinning a great sin. He caused his father so much more pain. He took away Shimon, all the Agnes Nefesh, maybe something would happen to Binyamin. He caused him so much more pain. So if he was just doing that for other purposes, out of, let's say, revenge for the brothers, you can't do that on when taking advantage of your father. How could it be? It must be. He did everything perfectly in its time. Because he knew that they would want to come true. Then he quotes others, and a few lines later he says the same thing. Line 19. This was all Yosef's chachma to get the dreams to come true. And he says, why didn't he send his father a letter? That was the whole plan. This is the Ramban's pshat based on the psukim. Again, in the middle of the psukim describing that Yosef kept himself, kept his identity to himself. It says he remembered the dreams. What do the dreams have to do with anything? So Rabban says that was the point. That's why he kept to himself, because he couldn't reveal himself to his brothers. This is the Ramban's pshat. What do you find surprising about the Ramban's pshat? Difficult about the Ramban's pshat?
Doesn't answer why initially he didn't contact.
Right, number one, why initially? But maybe also there. He didn't contact initially because, you know, he wanted it somehow. Right, but we don't know anything that happened in the interim so much about what he thought about. Was he keeping tabs on them? Why is it so important for Yosef to get the dreams to come true? We all have dreams. What's so important for Yosef to get the dreams to come true at the expense of his father? Well, what exactly was the purpose? So maybe you have to just add in a little bit more that others say, explaining the Ramban a little deeper, and that is that he took it as a nevuah. He took it as a prophecy. So if he took it as a nevuah, so then he took it upon himself, the Acharias, to make it come true. Just like a Navi, you know, tries to forecast what will happen. So here it was not just that he forecast, but he tried to actualize it. That is one shot, that of the Ramban. A second idea, which is similar to the Ramban, but really is really could be a separate idea, and that's said by the Abarbanel. Abarbanel has columns and columns, as you know. If you ever opened up at Abarbanel, he always asks 25 questions, and he gives a whole long answer, and he says, this answers question 6, and this answers question 14, and it goes through each one. So I just gave you the five lines in source number 2, where he answers the question. So he says, B'nisayon, he was testing them. L'adas in b'chaf b'ishana, shalo roa osam, shinu es tchuno sehem. He was checking out if they have changed over the 22 years. V'im nischartu mimasha asu kinegdo. Do they feel bad? Would they do it again? Says the Abarbanel. V'lachein evchinam be'emar lehem raglim atem ad asher roha sha'asu tshuva shlema. K'mosh amra aval Hashem emanachnu. You know what Yosef did? He wanted to get them to do tshuva. According to the Rambam, what did the Rambam say? Nilchus Shuva in Perek Beis. I didn't give it to you. The Rambam says, what's Shuva Gemura? When somebody's in the same exact situation, and not for any other reason, but because they don't want to fall into the trap of the sin again, they don't do it. Tshuva Gemura, the same exact situation, and they withhold from sinning. Says Yosef, I have to figure out a way to get my brothers here and to take away Yosef, Binyamin from them. The other Rachel's son of Rachel. And the other one that's beloved to his father. And see what they do. Did they let him go again or not? That was why he kept himself, he was misnaker. Said the Abravanel, let's get his brothers to do tshuva. So again, this explains everything, but again, it leaves somewhat of a difficulty, and that is, was it Yosef's place to get them to do tshuva? Is that part of Ochiach Tochiach Hazam Yisacha? It's up to him, especially if it's at the expense of his father's pain. Who put Yosef in charge? Obviously, Yosef was the leader, but who put him in charge of his older brothers, right? Didn't that get him into trouble in the first place? When he went back to Yaakov and told Lashon Hara about them, they were doing this Avera and that Avera and that Avera. So he was already trying to get them to do better. So what he thought it was somewhat different, but that's the Abarbanel based on the Rambam. But then there's a third issue, a third shot, third approach. And that's said by Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says in source number 3, again, it was really originally written in German, so I have the English translation. We must try, from what we are told, to explain Yosef's behavior. We should have thought that if only for his father's sake, he would have made himself known to them immediately, especially as he had already recognized the hand of God in all that happened, and had learned to appreciate all of his misfortunes, including his brother's crime against them. He already realized why he was there. Right? Next week's parsha, 2 weeks parsha. Vayigash, next week's parsha. He says, it was Kilimichya Shlachani. Hashem sent me here. I know exactly why I'm here. So he knew. So, line 7, a clever man like Yosef would also not think that he had to fulfill all the details of his dreams, alluding to the Ramban. If a dream has any meaning, one could leave its realization to the one who sends it. It could only be that considerations of urgent necessity cause him to adopt a behavior which otherwise must appear as senseless and purposeless spitefulness. Right, so what exactly was it? Asked Rav Hirsch. So says Rav Hirsch, you know what the point of Yosef was doing? He wanted to figure out a way, say it in one sentence, and then we'll see his words, to bring the brothers back together again as a family unit. And he's going to say in a minute, he didn't want to give his father back a son and take away another 10. Yosef wanted to figure out a way, both from his point of view and the brother's point of view, to create a unit of brotherhood, and in that way, bring back to Yaakov Avinu, it was all for Yaakov, to give him back all his sons. Skipping now. So he continues and says, let's read a little bit more. I'm sorry, Dave, you just give me a drink of water. Thanks. Line 18. But he, who even as an Egyptian prince had brought up his children for the house of Jacob, and also desired his bones utterly to rest in the land of his fathers, felt it absolutely necessary for him to be convinced of two things. A, that he himself could have a different opinion of his brothers, and above all, that his brothers have a different opinion of, and felt quite differently towards him. He wanted to make sure that he didn't have any hatred to his brothers, and that his brothers didn't have any hatred towards him. How could he come up with a plan that he can know that they have done tshuva? So it's a little partly, thank you very much. How could he come up with a plan that he knows that they feel bad about what they did? Total regret? So, because he knows right now that he has tremendous hurtful feelings against them. Yosef says, how could I love my brothers? I have to figure out a way that I know that they did tshuva. But I also have to make them realize that I have nothing against them. And all my dreams and everything I did in the youth was L'shem Shamayim. It wasn't because I feel better than them. How could I do that? Says Rav Hirsch on the bottom. That can only be purged from his mind by proof of their complete change of mentality. Like the Ramban says. But not because Stam, like the Abarbanel says, not Stam to get them to do tshuva. But why? In order to get them to do tshuva so that he could feel part of their family. And then they could all be a family for Yaakov Avinu. Turning the page. This test was necessary for Yosef's feelings so that if they withstood it, the last drops of bitterness would be eradicated from his heart. But the second and perhaps the more important was, he remembered his dreams, he remembered that he told him that he wants to become king, and they were jealous of him. Skipping, if this was the case when he ran about amongst them in his fur-trimmed coat, how much more must he now be looked on by them with fear and anxiety? Now he really was the Melech. How much more jealous they would be of him. How could I show them that I really love them and I want to be a family with them. Line 20. They must be made to realize that he could do with them whatever he wished. And if then, instead of all that they feared, he turned out to be the greatest benefactor and only used his power to ensure their happiness, so then they would realize that he's all Hashem Shamayim. If I could get them in a situation where I could really hurt them, they stole my goblet, I could throw them in jail forever, and yet I say, I love you, I'm Yosef, then they'll realize that it was all not for me, it was all Hashem Shamayim. Only so, skipping on line 26, could he hope to be really restored to his father and his sons as son and brother. There's the next line, line 30. What good would it have done his father to regain one son and lose 10 others? To have to think of his family circle being split into two camps in opposition and a state of enmity towards each other. Why did Yosef keep quiet? And why did he do this whole charade? In order to get himself to realize that they did Shuva, and to get the brothers to realize that he was always out L'shem Shamayim, not out to hurt them. That's Rav Hirsch. So we have the Ramban, the Abarbanel, and Rav Hirsch. Let's move on. Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi in source number 5. Beis HaLevi quotes a Medrash, beginning of Parshas Miketz, where the Medrash says, Vayhi Miketz Nasayim Yamim, first Pasuk, it was the end of the 2 years, Ufaro Cholem. And Paro had a dream. I mentioned this, those, but here on Shabbos afternoon, I mentioned this Beis HaLevi on Shabbos as well. End of 2 years, Paro had a dream. Says the Medrash, Amar v'Medrash. Hadahu dechsev, Kate Sam Lachoshech. Pasuk in Eov, Hashem put an end to the darkness. Kate Sam LeYosef, Kam Yia Bebeis HaAsurim. Hashem put an end to Yosef's time in the jail. Kivin Shehigia HaKate. Uparo cholem. Sorry, I'm trying to keep wet so my voice continues. Hashem put an end to the jail time. Once the jail time came, Paro dreamed. What's the Medrash emphasizing? Right? Yosef's time finished. Paro had a dream. What exactly is the emphasis? Says the Beis HaLevi, Yisod Gadol, that really could help us in many hashkafas that we have in our life about many life events that fall upon us. Bir divrei ha-medrash, to bechol davar sheba'olam yesh sibo mesovev. In everything in the world, there's a cause and an effect. Cause and effect. Sibo mesovev. Ukamo echad kana schor achas. Like somebody who buys something. Virviach sakado bazen. He makes a great profit. That means a great profit after making a great business deal. Ulefeisechal ha-enoshi. According to logic, what would logic dictate? Kenias haschora. What made me get a profit? I made a great deal. The cause was the great deal, and that led me to make a great profit. Says the Beis HaLevi, it's just the opposite. It's Toas Gomor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give me some profit. Because of that, he made me make the deal in the first place. What we think was the cause was really the effect. Aval be'emes hutoas, dolo asiba gormalo harevach. It wasn't the siba that caused me the profit. Rak min ha-shamayim nigzar olav she'yarviach, but min ha-shamayim, it was nigzar, it was decreed that I should make money, and therefore I should maybe make a great deal. So many times we might get mixed up within cause and the effect. V'chin kan, says the Beis HaLevi, that's what the Medrash is trying to emphasize. You might think, why did Yosef get out of jail? Because Paro had a dream. Paro had a dream, and all of a sudden you have any interpreters, and the Sar Mashkim remembered, oh, there was a great interpreter of dreams in the jail, and therefore Yosef got out of jail. No. Vayhi Miketz Nasayim Yamim. It was the end of the 2 years in jail. It was time for Yosef to get out. Ufaro Cholem. Therefore, Paro had his dream. It wasn't the dream caused Yosef getting out. It was Yosef's time to get out caused Paro to have the dream. According to logic, right, you might, simple reading of the Torah is that the dream of Paro was the reason that I got out of jail. It's just the opposite. It was time for Yosef to get out. And from there, because it was time for Yosef to get out, that is why he had the dream. Just the opposite of what we would have thought. Again, I'm not going to read everything inside. Apologize, just to try to conserve a little bit. But the Beis Halevi says the same idea in Parshas Bo. Parshas Bo, giving pshat in a part of the Haggadah, I just give you the part that's relevant for us. In source number 6. Aval ikir yisod shel mitzvah lama. Whenever we have a mitzvah, for example, Pesach. This is a radical application of what we just said. You're going to see. Now, usually we can take this idea to think, you know, why did this happen to me in life? You know, it puts a different take on so many things, so many events of our life. You know, we think that because we did this, you know, so we made the money, we lost the money. No, I was supposed to lose the money, and therefore this is what happened. I shouldn't take the blame myself. I was supposed to lose the money. I was supposed to gain the money. That was the ultimate result that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Says the Beis Halevi, the same thing could be applied to mitzvos. If we read the Torah, what does it seem like? Why do we have the Yontif of Pesach? Why do we have the mitzvah of matzah? Why do we have maror? Because the Jews were in Mitzrayim, and they worked very hard, and we went out, and we didn't have time for the dough to rise. We went through the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Says the Beis Halevi, no, just the opposite. We know the Torah existed before the world was created. Yistakel ba'oraisu bara alma. Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world. Says the Beis Halevi, because there was a mitzvah of matzah, that's what created the schus for Klal Yisrael to have Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was just the opposite. Again, this is an extreme application of it. It's hard for us to understand. What do you mean? The matzah without Yetzias Mitzrayim. But how could there have been Torah? You're right, the stories didn't happen yet, but the mitzvahs existed. Says the Beis Halevi. On line 3, sorry, Torah kodma l'olam. The Torah was before the world. V'gam kodem olam aysa ha-Torah. V'ksiv be mitzvahs matzah. The mitzvah matzah was in the Torah before the world. V'gam Avram Avinu v'chalavos kimu ha-Torah kula. Ach lo nitna. Avram Avinu, all the avos kept the Torah, whether you're eating matzah. Right, and Yitzchak Avinu had, when he was giving the brachas, he had two goats, one for the Pesach and one for the Chagiga. You know, what did they do in Pesach? Well, they didn't have, it wasn't Yitzchias Mitzrayim yet. No, the point was there was the mitzvahs. Yitzchias Mitzrayim happens as a result of the fact that there's a mitzvah of matzah. V'yemkenu b'lal tesvah b'nisan, ochal avram matzu maru, avagav da'ozai kodem galas Mitzrayim. V'yakarchach mitzvos elu, lo nitzmachu migulas Mitzrayim. These mitzvahs didn't come from Mitzrayim. Raku lehefach is the opposite. Du mizchus mitzvahs pesach matzu maror. Shigish b'layla hazos. Nitzbacha gulasa mi Mitzrayim b'layla zu. Bizchus these mitzvahs, that's why there was a geula. And then he gives shot, that's what we say to the Rasha. That's batami ha-mitzvahs. Whenever we give a tam for a mitzvah, it's not the ultimate reason for the mitzvah. Just the opposite. There's a mitzvah, and because there's a mitzvah, that creates the tam. Someone that creates the remembrance. That's what the Beis Halevi suggests about mitzvos, but in our parsha, he relates it to the story of Yosef and Paro's dreams. It was time for Yosef to get out, and therefore Paro dreams. That's the first shot of the first pasuk. Vayhi mikach nasayim yamim, ufaro chole. Feel free to comment, like you usually do. Kind of quiet. Yeah.
The other thing I would say that you still have to do your shtatos. You can't just say, I guess Hashem didn't want me to have money. So I'm not going to go to work.
Right.
It only works if you're saying, or the Beis Halevi is saying, if you do your Hashtalos, and then whatever outcome...
100%, you have to do your Hashtalos. You can't just stay home and say, if Hashem wants me to win the lottery, you know, if you don't buy the lottery ticket, you're not going to win the lottery. Right? Oh, if Hashem makes me, you know, a lottery ticket will get lost by somebody and fly into my living room and be the winning lottery ticket. Right. Definitely, we have to do our Hashtalos. We can't live our life based... We can live our life hashkafically realizing this, but not to actively... You know, because we don't know. We don't know what the Kodesh Baruch Hu has in store for us. So we all have Bechira Chavshas, and we have to do what's incumbent upon us. But in a finale, but once we do our Hishtalos, and it does or doesn't work, we shouldn't think it's because of our Hishtalos. If we buy a certain stock that does good or does not do good, it was ultimately Siyata Deshmaya. It's only because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants.
Could this be the meaning of many often Chazal say, like Esben Atara Minayim? In other words, looking for even things that unfold in history much later on.
Okay. Esamen Torah, Hamamen Torah, all of those, right? Later, right? Everything later in history is Merubas in the Torah. Afochba v'afochba.
And these events also unfolded because...
Right, what does Haman have to do with the Eitz Hadas? You know, I mean, there are many drushes given about each of those. But yeah, so everything is the roots in the Torah. Again, this is an extreme application of it by like Pesach and Matzah, but it's just an example.
But if you see it,
right.
Right.
Hashem had it in, built into the framework that some were ultimately supposed to be chukim and some were supposed to be mishpatim. You're right. It's funny. Pesach would have been a chok without the story, but Kadosh Baruch Hu knew, gets into the problem of Hashem's knowing before it occurs. Hashem's outside of time. So it's, we can't understand. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuva. He's outside of time, so we can't understand. His knowledge is him. He doesn't have separate knowledge. They can forget something. So we can't understand how Hashem can know something before it happens, but we sell Bechir Chavshis to do it. And I like to get the mashal that I like is that let's say you're watching a game that took place yesterday. You videoed a game, watching a video game that took place yesterday. So you're watching the game. Does the person shooting the ball have Bechira to hit the shot or not? He has 100% Bechira. 100% is Bechira. Do I know if he's going to hit the shot? Yes. I know if he's going to hit the shot. I'm outside of time. I'm outside of the clock. So therefore, I know. But he is Bechira Chavshis. But I know before it happens what happens. So, Lahavdil, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not on a timeline. That when he said before and after by our actions, we can't use those terms by him. Because there is no before and after. He's outside of time. So that's one of the answers to the question of how could Hashem know? Before, how could Hashem know beforehand? There's a beforehand by Hashem, right? Who rishon v'hu achron, right? He's that's. But you're right. That's Kadosh Baruch Hu decided some are going to be chukim and some are going to be mishpat.
And one other question on the postcard thing, I never understood. That works maybe for us, but if you consider Yom Kippur as Yaakov and Yosef as Yosef and they're both tzaddikim, they learn Torah. If I was Yosef, I wouldn't worry. Yaakov will figure it out. There's many midrashim Yaakov knew.
Right.
You know, oh, you're going to get rid of Binyamin like you got rid of Yosef.
Right.
I'm not so worried. Yaakov will take care of himself.
Right. Big question is, did Yaakov, again, there are different discussions in the midrashim, could it be that Yaakov never found out?
One of the 70.
Could be, right?
Say.
Right, it could be, but you're right. But the Chazal said also that, you know, he never stopped mourning, and
so he should have known.
Right.
There's so many.
Right, so there's a lot.
It's not the biggest thing that he didn't let him know.
Right.
He's Yaakov Avinu.
Right. And over all the years, he never saw them whispering in the corner.
It also be for all Yosef knew, Yaakov knew what happened. But
right.
Why didn't Yaakov try to contact him then?
Exactly.
Yosef doesn't know what's happening. He's isolated.
Some of Farshim say that because, after all, who sent Yosef out to the middle of nowhere to his brothers? Maybe Yosef thinks, according to Farshim, why did my father do that to me? Does he know that? And he didn't come look for me in Mitzrayim. I got stuck in this dungeon and they didn't come look for me. Where's my father? He sent me to this whole place. If I didn't come back, where is he? So again, there's a lot not said and a lot of purposely ambiguous stories to give us different messages. Okay. The next idea I wanted to mention is one of my favorite. I've mentioned it many times in different contexts. I think the last time I mentioned it was in a Haggadah Shiur 2 years ago. There's a well-known Gra and a less well-known Minchas Asher, which is an extension of the Gra, or an explanation of the Gra. If you've never heard it, great, and if you have, it's still worth reviewing. Says the Gra. Says the Pasuk in the source number 7. Vayomar le'em Yaakov avihem. Yaakov tells his brothers when they say, we have to take Binyamin. Sorry. The leader does not want anything less. So he says to them, Osi shikaltem. You have made me bereaved. Yosef enenu v'shimon enenu v'sbinyamin tikachlu alai hayu kulana. Right? Yosef's not here. Shimon's not here. You're going to take Binyamin, alai hayu kulana. Upon me are all these things. So what exactly does that phrase mean, the last three words? Alai hayu kulana. Right? The Gra says, l'chor kasha, the sfas yeserhu. Right? What do you mean, alai hayu kulana? What does that mean? So says the Gra, there's another alai in Sefer Bereishis. Right? A couple of parashiyos ago, when Yaakov Avinu was very worried that Yitzchak is going to find him out when he is faking and pretending to be Esav, maybe I'm going to be found out. Right? Maybe I'm going to be found out. So Rivka says, don't worry about it. Alai kilalas chabini. Right? He quotes it on line 5. Upon me will be your curse. So what does that mean? If Yaakov's find out, why is Rivka going to get cursed? Alai kilalas chabini. What does alai mean there? That Rivka says. So says the Vilna Gaon, amazing, line 7. Hakavanahi ki Rivka hodila Yaakov bezeh. What was Rivka telling Yaakov? Shelo yavo olav tzoros nosafos. You don't have to worry about Yitzchak. Yitzchak's not going to get upset at you. Don't worry about it. Why? Ki im shalosh eila haremuzos b'milas alai. I'm telling you, you're only going to have three tzoros in life. Three tzoros, alai. Esav, Lavan, Yosef. Three tzoros. Alai ki lascha b'ni. Your klala, your tzoros, Yaakov, it's only Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. Not Yitzchak. There's no two yids in there. So don't worry about it. You're not going to be found out. That's Rivka. Alai ki lascha b'ni. So now they want to take away Binyamin. Yaakov says, what are you talking about? Alai ha yukulana. I've had my alai already. I've had Esav. I've had Lavan. I've had Yosef. Enough already. Shimon's not really a separate one because he was still alive. He's going to get him back. But Alai Binyamin? Alai Yukulana. It's not fair. It's not supposed to be. Line 15. The Kimin Yosef Einanu. Harik Versa Valtika Latsar Shayim Yuadim Li. I already have all my tsaris. So therefore. Thank you. So therefore, says Yaakov Avinu, it's not fair. That's the Gra. Many know this Gra. Alai, Alai. That itself is worth repeating. But then the Minchas Asher has the extension of this. Source number 8. Rav Asher Weiss writes this in his Agdama, in his Haggadah, after he quotes this by Arami Ovid Avi, by Lavan. He says, V'libi Omer Li, says Rav Asher Weiss, my heart tells me to gam shloshes Eila. These three, Esav, Lavan, Yosef, they represent something. They're not just three stories. They represent the three types of tsaros that Klal Yisrael go through throughout history. There's the Esav tsaros, the Lavan tsaros, and the Yosef tsaros. What does he mean? Umashiira line for several more we're up to. Kachal Ma'aseh Avos Shem Yisir Labanim. Mashiul Yaakov Nizra Lav Nizra Kam Alzar Bechol Dor Vador. The tsaros that happened to Yaakov Avinu, we are Bnei Yisrael, we are Bnei Yaakov. The tsaros that happened to him are the tsaros that happened to us. Binu Nashnos Dor Vador. What are the tsaros? First, think about the tsaros of Esav. What's Esav? Those who want to physically annihilate us. Like Esav wanted to kill Yaakov, there's the Hamans. There's the Hitlers. There's the Achashverushes, Yimach Shemam. Shazam Laurigas Yaakov Avinu. That's the first type of tsara. Esav's. But then there's the second type of tsara. Tsaras Lavan. What's Lavan? Lavan didn't want to kill Yaakov. Lavan wanted to trick him. He wanted to take away his mitzvos. Right? Taimish or Shamarti. What is he saying? Lavan tried to get it away from me. Right? Lavan is the ones who wanted to spiritually annihilate us. Right? The Yontel of Hanukkah. Antiochus. Antiochus, the ones who wanted to let us live, but take away our ruchnius. That's Tsaras Esav and Tsaras Lavan. But then you have the Tsaras Yosef. What's the Tsaras Yosef? The Tsara of Sinas Chinam. The Tsara of the inner fighting. The Tsara from within. Not like the first two who were from without. We had Hitler Yimach Shemam. We had Stalin, he says. Line 30, Akasha Mikulam, what's the worst? Gezeras Yosef. Sinas Achim, what? Rav Asher Weiss. He's a Rav in Yerushalayim today, in Ramot. One of the great Gdolei Darshanim. He and Gdolei Poskim. He's Shechris, but they have service. Echaleinu, the Sinas Chinam, in our day, we are still not saved from. And you know what? That's the only one that we have control over, and we have to work on it. The Tsaras Esavs and the Tsaras Lavas are not in our control. We just have to react to them. But it's the Tsaras Yosefs that we are still suffering from all these thousands of years. And that's the message we have to take. Again, the Alai of the Gra, and then the Mais Avasim Labanim, the three types of Tsaras that happened to Yaakov Avinu, are the three types of Tsaras that happened to us. Good. That's one worth repeating. There are many times you could use that type of thought. You could say, you say it on happy occasions, sad occasions, inspiring occasions, we got to work on ourselves. I can say it in many places. Oh, I'm sorry, you forgot one. Same page. So Yosef is talking to his brothers, and they didn't realize who he was. Says Yosef, it says the Pasuk in Perek Mem Beis Pasuk of Gimel, Ve'heim lo yad'u, they didn't know ki shomea Yosef. They were talking amongst themselves. Remember, I knew it was your fault. I can't believe it. And brothers are fighting with each other, and they say, they're felt sorry. So imagine Yosef trying to keep a straight face. It's been pretty hard. I mean, a few times he ran out, but it's, you know, you haven't seen your brothers. Imagine not seeing your brother after 22 years and not, like, saying anything. Okay, fine, they sold you. So not even saying, how could you do that? Right, but that was the first question that we dealt with. But they didn't realize why, because there was a melitz beinosam. There was an interpreter. So there's a medrash in Parshas Vayechi. It's quoted here by the Rinas Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Sorotskin, source number 9. The medrash in Parshas Vayechi says that Yosef lived for 110 years, just like Yeshua. There are parallels, maybe another time to talk about it, between Yosef and Yehoshua. They both have a strong connection to Eretz Yisrael. They both lived for 110 years. Right, the last pasuk in Yehoshua is all about Yehoshua dying and Yosef's bones being buried. So the connections between Yosef and Yehoshua. But the Medrash says that Yosef died at 110. Why? Why not 120? He lost 10 years of his life because he heard 10 times when the brother said, your servant, Yaakov, our father, and he kept quiet. He kept quiet. He didn't say a word when they said, Avdecha Avinu, and he lost 10 years of his life. That's what the Medrash says. Line 3, Asar Pam, Shamra Aviyam Yaakov Avdecha, Vzeh Onesh, Mida Kenegan Mida, To Kibur Ava Aim, Gorem Arichas Yamim, Kibur Ava Aim brings length of days, extra days, Vishanim, Vabizayon, Shemavaza Aviv Gorem Yamim. He was Mavaz, his father, but not saying anything. Your servant, he's your servant. So that's why, Mida Kenegan Mida. They didn't lose because they thought he was talking to a great ruler. Right? It was just that Yosef, it was Yosef's problem. The question is, Vitzarach Ian. Dehine, Mashalomicha Yosef, Haimishim Shakatilu Giazman. She's Kalalachiv. Why do we fold Yosef? It wasn't time yet to reveal himself to his brothers. It wasn't time yet, as we said to spend the first part of the shir. Why should he be punished for that? There was an ones. He had good reason not to reveal himself. So why does he get fooled? So says the Rinas Yitzchak, fascinating. There's another gra. The gra says that if you look at, we take the Medrash's word for it. The gra didn't. The gra said if you look at the psukim when the brothers are talking to the father, talking to Yosef, it's only 5 times. It's not 10. It's only 5 times that they say avdecha. So why was he punished for 10 if it was only 5? Says the gra, because of the melitz. It was translated each time. So each time was really a double. It was 5 times by the brothers, and 5 times by the melitz, by the interpreter. Line 14, Vitirates. Shah melitz hayabenosam, vayachozer umetargin lifnei Yosef Zibraham. He translated their words in front of them. V'imkein Yosef heard it 10 times, and he wasn't mocha, and therefore he lost 10 years. So now, using that gra, says the Rinas Yitzchak, I'll explain to you why Yosef was faulted. Lefisa Yeshlom, line 18. Tiafa got the Shamas Yehuda, Omer Adravi, Lohayachalat Limchos. You're right when Yehuda said it, Yosef couldn't say a word. No. But when the Melech said it in Egyptian, he should have said, shh, no, don't say that. Especially according to the Medrash that it was his son. Right? One said it was Menashe. Right? So why didn't he tell the Melech to keep quiet? Right? Fine, he couldn't tell Yehuda to keep. He wasn't faulted for Yehuda's. But he was faulted for not saying anything by the Melech. Once he didn't say anything by the Melech, you know what? Then he was faulted even when he didn't keep saying anything to Yehuda. Because the halacha is, you only get the patur of an ones if you wouldn't have done the Aveira otherwise. If you would do the Aveira anyway, you can't just say, oh, I'm ones, I have to do it. No, you only get that patur if you wouldn't do the Aveira anyway. Says the Rinat Yitzchak. Line 20. Aval kashama ezeh mehamelo shayim menashe hayocholimchos. You could have told Menashe to be quiet. Umi delo micha b'menashe. Since he wasn't moche, nenesh gam amashalom micha b'Yehuda. Also, what he was not moche. Shay onis rachmana patre. When is onis a patur? Rak bekiya gavna. Only if she iluli ha onis lo yoseh. He wouldn't do it without the onis. But here, by the fact that he didn't say anything to Menashe, where he wasn't ne'enas. So that shows he can't use the patur of ones. And that's why he was punished for all 10. That's the Rinas Yitzchak. This idea comes up. He doesn't quote it. I didn't give it to you, but outside the Beis HaLevi in Parsha Shmos says in the pasuk Vayeda Elokim. It's also in the Haggadah of the Beis Halevi. It's reprinted there. Vayeda Elokim. The Medrash says that the Malachim complained to Hashem, "What are you redeeming these people for? They're both over the Avodah Zarah. The Jews were over the Avodah Zarah. The Egyptians were over the Avodah Zarah." So Hashem says, "No, I know these people are only doing it ba'ones, and the Egyptians are doing it baratza." Vayeda Elokim. Hashem saw that we were only doing it because we were bnei anas. If we wouldn't be forced, then we wouldn't be doing it. So that's exactly this message. You only get the patur of ones if you wouldn't do it otherwise. This even...
You know why Yosef did it?
Why he didn't say anything?
Yeah. I want to lower its chus on Yosef.
Right. But the Medrash said he was punished.
Fine.
We could be mom its chus, but the Medrash said he was punished for it.
You could be punished for doing things b'shogi, that doesn't mean...
Okay, but...
You could be punished. Why can't we just say the...
Did Menashe know that these were his brothers? Let's say he was the Melos. So the Medrash says he should, even if it was a slight, like, you know, like he asked before, this was Yosef HaTzadik we're talking about. Avdecha Avi. When you hear about your father that he's your servant.
I don't think you paid the petrol.
Okay. I would agree with you that he wasn't even paying attention to the Melos. He was trying to concentrate on what they were saying when the Melos was talking. But we're working backwards here. The Medrash says it.
The Medrash says he's punished.
So once he's punished, we have to say he did something wrong. He lost 10 years of his life.
You can be punished for doing shogegs or whatever. You can be shot for Mitzvah's sake. You can be punished.
You could bring a chatos for that. You're not going to lose years of your life for that.
Okay.
Right. You have to say something. Kachut Asaira. But there's an amazing application of this idea of Ones not being a p'tur in a machlokas between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Machlokas. What kind of machlokas? Where does this come up? Comes up. Let's say you have a number of doctors in the room, right? Comes up. Should or could a frum Shomer Shabbos doctor switch his Shabbos call with a non-frum doctor? A Jewish non-frum doctor, right? If you can switch it with a non-Jew, that's the best, right? Give him, right, especially in Chutz Laaretz where Sunday is Sunday. It's not Yom Rishon, right? Sunday is Sunday. So, you know, get the non-Jew to work on Shabbos, and I'll work on Sunday. So, fine. Everybody wants off on Sunday, so I'll take a Sunday. But what happens if the only person I could switch with is a Jew Chiloni, non-Orthodox? So, should I? The Svara being that, you know what? He's going to be doing Malacha anyway. Let him at least be doing a mitzvah when he's doing Malacha. Instead of driving to the golf course, let him drive to the hospital. At least he's doing a mitzvah. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein's Svara. Rav Moshe says in Igros Moshe, in Chelek Dalet Siman Ayin Tes, I gave it to you, in Source number 10, Rav Moshe first off by saying, switch with a non-Jew for Sunday. They all want Sunday off. Right? So switch, find a non-Jew in your program. He says, we're not getting into, by the way, the issue of Shomer Shabbos residency. That's the topic of a separate shiur. You can look at all the research and all of the Svarim. But this is just the case. Lamaisa, you have to work on Shabbos. Let's say forget a residency. Let's say... You're 20 years out, and you're called in on Shabbos. So is it better to call up a non-frum doctor to go? Says Rav Moshe, yes, it's better. Even though the non-shomer Shabbos Jews might be there also, it's still okay. Line 20, V'yesh gam tam gadol lahatir af im Yehudim she'enam shomrei Torah. She'gam k'sheyesh iru bebeitza michal u'shabat b'mezid, b'chol malacha she'yizdami, they're going to do malachas anyway, they might as well do it in the hospital. Right? Puts it into a context of a mitzvah, fine. That's Rav Moshe. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman now. What did we learn from the Beis Halevi? If you would do the Aveira even if you weren't forced, then you don't get the Petur of Ones. You get the Aveira. Yosef, what did Rinas Yitzchak say? Yosef wasn't going to get punished for Yehuda. But the second he didn't say anything to the Melitz, so that shows that it wasn't because of the Ones, he wasn't doing the Aveira, and therefore he got punished for everything. Says the Shlomo Zalman, if an Orthodox Jew does it, so then he's doing it l'shem mitzvah. And he's only doing it because he's forced to, therefore it's not an Aveira. It's a mitzvah! Mitzvah chal Shabbos, achanas tafashas. If the non-Shomer Shabbos person would do it, he would do it anyway. That's not called chil Shabbos l'shem mitzvah. And therefore, says Shlomo Zalman, quoting the footnote in the Shmir Shabbos, in source number 12, in Perek Lamed Beis, Kuf Chaf Hey, he says, it's worse. It is Chol Shabbos. And of course, at the end, the last line, look in the Beis Halevi, Parsha Shmos. That's the one I quoted before. Vayar Hashem Es Bnei Yisrael, Vayeh Delok. So this idea of the Rinas Yitzchak is found halacha l'maaseh as well. Okay, let's have one more idea that relates to Chanukah as well. And let's say something with Mikes and Chanukah. So many Ramazim, I saw, I have a sefer downstairs on Chanukah that has the first 15 psukim of Mikes or something, with every letter being Rosh HaTevis of like a halacha from Chanukah. Vayhi, Mikes, Shosayim Yamim, it like worked out the neighbors and every halacha in Shulchan Aruch alluded to in the first 15. Somebody worked very hard. Unless they didn't, unless one of the rebbes, you know, just came to him in a vision. So, remember the story, the beginning, Paro says, Yosef, I have a problem. What do my dreams mean? And let's go back to the psukim for a minute. Go back to the psukim. Paro says, I need them interpreted. And Yosef interprets them. Very nice. And after the interpretation, he adds in the following psukim. Pasuk Lamed Daled. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Perek Mem Aleph Pasuk Lamed Gimel. He just finished interpreting the dreams. Right, he says, famine years and plentiful years. Right, it's all. By the way, what? Just as an aside, why couldn't the it's Tagninim of Paro get it right? Right, they said you're gonna have seven daughters and you're gonna bury seven daughters and you're gonna have this and you're gonna have that. Right, so why couldn't they get it right? Why are they so mixed up? They saw when Moshe was born, they could see it in the stars. Why couldn't they get it right? What are they all mixed up for? Giving these crazy interpretations, and Paro couldn't. So I once heard a pshat that Tagninim heard the dreams, but then they looked into the future, and what did they see in the future? They saw 7 years of plenty and 2 years of famine, right? Because Yaakov Avinu came down and stopped the famine. The astrologers could only see what will be. Yosef HaTzadik was able to see what could be as well, what could have been. A deep message. Do we only know what could, what will be, or what could be? The potential. You can see it's just the opposite. A Jew not only has to see what's in front of him in the future, but what could be in front of him. That's like a mixed up. They 7 and 7, 7 and 2. It's all mixed up. Yosef realized what could be, not just what will be. Anyway, back to the story, back to the psukim. So Yosef, as we know, besides interpreting the dreams, then puts in his 2 cents. Pazaglam Gimel, Vyatah, Yehre Parash Dovam V'chacham. Paro appoints somebody very smart to take care of everything. And he should be in charge, and he should have officers under him, and all the food should be saved. Dot, dot, dot. Asks the Olam, asks everyone, who asked Yosef to put in his 2 cents? Paro said, interpret my dreams. This is a lowly Eved that just got out of jail. Finally got a haircut, put on some nice clothes. Just tell me what the dreams mean. Who told Yosef to add in, you know, and this is what you should do. You know, I'm not saying anything, but a smart man. Right, so what was Yosef thinking? That's a question that's asked by many. I gave it to you from the Shemen HaTov in source number 13. Komakam Sarach Biur. Vakushim for Semes. Famous question. To me, Bikesh Yosef Eitzis. Who asked Yosef for advice? Rath Paro wanted to know the interpretation of his dreams. So what must you say? You have to say, says the Shemen HaTov, Rav Dov Weinberger, that somewhere in the dream Yosef saw that part of the interpretation was to give the advice. Where do you see that? Where do you see that? Like, he wasn't doing anything extra. It's got to be from the dream. So where do you know that from? Says the Shemen HaTov. You know what Yosef thought about the dreams? Years of plenty and then years of famine? Yosef said to himself, the message is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always prepares somebody, prepares each one of us for difficult times beforehand. He gives certain koach and certain potential for us beforehand in order to gain strength from it during the years of plenty in order to save up for the years of famine. Hashem does certain, causes certain occurrences to take place earlier to prepare each of us for later situations in life. We don't even realize it. Right, Maktim Refuah Lamaka, exactly. Says the Shemen HaTov, Vanir Abazel, line 5, Dekol Inyan HaChalom was Paro, all the message of the dreams, Balo Chiyach, is to prove, Shekol Mishiyesh Lo Kodkod Barosho, anybody who has a brain in their head, Sarach Lavin has to understand, Shemakadosh Baruch Hu Shalech Adam Hatzlacha Merubah, if Hashem sends somebody great Hatzlacha, it's to, Tehlihi Sheinatzel Zos, Bishvol HaAsid, it's to make sure, use your years of plenty, in order to save up and use for your years of famine, because later on you're going to need it. It doesn't only apply to money. doesn't only apply to years of plenty in physical terms, in terms of talents, in terms of any type of emotional strength. When later difficult times come, they'll be ready. That's the Iker message, that during the years of plenty, you have to prepare for the years of hunger. And that's what we just said on line 13, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Makdim Refuah L'Makah. So Yosef thinks to himself, why am I here? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu send me here? What am I doing interpreting Paro's dreams, the greatest ruler in the world at that time? I'm a lowly Jewish boy, sold by the brothers. You know what Yosef says to himself? I must be here because Hashem wants me to be. He's preparing for when the brothers come. He's preparing for, they probably knew about Bris Bina Basarim, right? From Yaakov Avinu, from Avram Avinu. They probably knew about Bris Bina Basarim. This was all going to be the beginning of it all. So Yosef said, this is not extra. This is exactly part of the dream. The dream's message is, take your years of plenty in order to prepare for the years of need. It says, the Shemana Tov, that's the message of Chanukah as well. What's Chanukah? So the Gemara says in Yuma, that Esther is called Sof HaNisim. Esther, story of Purim, is called the last Nes. Ask the Gemara, what about Chanukah? All right, Purim happens beginning of Bayasheni, right, in between, 70th year. Chanukah happened in the middle of Bayasheni. What about Chanukah? The Gemara says, no, that wasn't given to be written down. It was the last Nes recorded in Tanakh. That was Megillas Esther. But Chanukah wasn't meant to be written down. What does that mean? Says the Shemana Tov, Chanukah was the last Nes. But Chanukah was a different kind of Nes. Chanukah was a Nes that was meant to give us strength for Galus. As many, we didn't even need the Nes of Chanukah. Right? Tumah Hotzeh Tzibur and other questions. We didn't even need the Nes of Chanukah to do the Avodah. Why did Hashem do the Nes of Chanukah? So says the Shemana Tov, There's no more nace after Chanukah that may ikra din. We have to say Hallel. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, hopefully we'll get to this on Parshas Bo, I'm trying to save it and remember it. Bayis Sheni wasn't a complete Beis HaMikdash. They knew then that it wasn't going to be eternal. They were missing, there was no Aron, there was no Shechina, there was no Urim V'Tumim, there were so many things that were missing at that time anyway. So they knew it was Galus already. It was Galus. It was so many, 300 years, they had terrible Kohanim Gedolim. That was the Beis HaMikdash. They were all killing each other, they were all crooked. So it was already Galus then. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Chanukah, because Chanukah, the light of Chanukah, gives us strength to be able to make it through the Galus. That's Chanukah symbolizes the days of plenty. The days of the nes at the beginning of this long Galus, which gives us strength in order to get us through this long Galus until Mashiach would come. And that same message, exactly, Shemana Tov says, is said by Rav Palm. Give it to Rav Palm on Parshas Mikates, in one of his English Svarim. He again says the whole message of the dreams and of Chanukah is to prepare, to give us the strength of spirit that we need in order to get us through all of the years of Galus. Rav Palm extends it to everything in life. The last page, he says, we all have years of plenty. Our years in yeshiva growing up are years of plenty. Do we capitalize on years of plenty in order to prepare for the time that won't be as plentiful? The years that we have koach, right, we say, Atashlechin le zikna, kichlos kochin al tazvenu. We all see grandparents and great grandparents that can't do what they would want to do and go a little slower than they would want to do. We have to prepare during the years of plenty that we have, and every day is a year of plenty. Says Rav Palm, how bitter will a person, in the middle of the page, how bitter will a person's regret be in the world to come when he realizes how he let spiritual diamonds through his fingers? What value did a blood Gemara have to him, or an hour spent learning, answering additional Amen or Kaddish? There's a chance to do an act of Chesed. And he quotes the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that every word of Torah that we say or hear is a separate mitzvah. So if you speak about 200 words a minute, says the Chavetz Chaim, based on this Gaon, how many mitzvahs is that? How many millions of mitzvahs we just did together? Millions. Millions. You learn for 5 minutes. You know how many mitzvahs that is? But the jewels that we have the opportunity of, these are years of plenty, every 5 minutes that we have. And that's the message of Chanukah as well. That's what he writes, Rav Palm writes at the end. You would think, a little pach shemen, a little flask of oil, what's the big deal? This is plenty. This is one little pach shemen was Ma'afsher allowed us to have the entire new Chanukah Sabayis. The last paragraph. In normal times, for the vow, there's one jug of oil to have. But when the days of evil come, the discovery of a single jug was greeted with Hallel and Hodah. So that's the message of the dreams of Yosef. That's why Yosef gave advice, even though he wasn't asked to. And that's the message of Chanukah, shining light as a preparation to help us get through these long years of Galus. So Hashem, very soon we should merit not just having the Chanukiah in our window, but to have the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll take off one of the arms. We'll make it seven stems. It's okay with us, right? But we just want that menorah back. Thank you for hanging in there with me. Sorry.
You need to get a new tablecloth.
Right.